school bus drivers and school transportation supervisors.
Awesome. Sir?
The silent guy in the peanut gallery. Nick Mercurio from Rosendale. Area of interest is the people not in vehicles. That's what their mode of transportation is. And I guess I'm sort of a member in waiting here.
That's correct.
The application is in.
I understand the county executive is considering your appointment very shortly.
Yeah, Jen's a friend. So.
Well, hopefully we'll make it official soon.
Good.
Awesome. Welcome, everybody. Moving on the agenda here, approval of the April 7th, 2025 draft minutes. They're provided electronically, and there's a copy here if you want to take a few minutes to review them, so we can get them approved or revised. Anybody need an additional time?
No, I'll make a motion.
Second.
Perfect. Thank you. Third item on the agenda is public comment. Do we have anybody from the public that wants to speak? Future board members get to go first.
Come on, man.
That's nice. That's a senior bonus, I guess. No, not at the moment. Otherwise, I'm looking forward to joining you folks.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. We'll start with...
I had a question. If someone gave me something, do I submit it or should I read it? Someone gave me something like public comment.
You
should read
it during public comment.
Okay. So this is not from me. This is from Ezra Lynn, LYNN, Kingston resident. So this was conveyed to me by a text. Sometimes when I am having flare-ups of my autoimmune condition and I can't sleep, my spouse and I will go to work go for a walk on very early in the morning. On April 22nd, at about 2:05 a.m., we had a very dangerous encounter with a KPD officer who illegally turned from Summer Street onto Cemetery Lane, a very narrow one-way street without a sidewalk. Although we were wearing flashing lights and reflectors to make sure we were visible, after turning, the KPD officer continued down the middle of the street towards us with their high beams on. No effort was made to turn around after seeing we were walking down the one way, nor did they move their vehicle to one side to try to give us enough room to keep us walking. Instead, we were forced to have to quickly move from the street onto someone's lawn as the vehicle continued closer towards us. I was walking with my cane on the side facing the vehicle, and the officer passed us so closely that, and without caution, that I had to suddenly move my cane completely off the street before it got tripped up under the tires. If I had tripped or lost my balance due to having to move so quickly, I could have gotten seriously hurt or worse. If my cane had gotten caught under the front tire, I could have been pulled down towards the vehicle. This is not the first time we've seen KPD officers illegally use this one way as a shortcut down Pine Grove, but I hope it will be the last. KPD officers should be setting examples for motorists to follow, not being examples themselves for the behavior that's hurting vulnerable road users, pedestrians, and people with disabilities. I'd like to further add that Ezra is on the Complete Streets Advisory for Kingston, and that was also how this was conveyed to me.
Did she report that to Kingston KPD as well?
I am not certain if they did or not.
If you want to forward it to me, I will.
I did suggest that it get forwarded. I think they just wanted to, they had intended to be here this evening, but are having some difficulties due to their disability.
I can understand. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
So heard for the record. Moving on to member updates. Lou, I'll let you start.
Thank you. We successfully submitted our application for the governor's traffic safety grant. We're waiting to hear back to see if we are going to be awarded any money for enforcement with that. I was actually just talking to the chief today regarding our accidents in town. We're holding steady with like roadway accidents, but we're getting crushed with parking lot accidents. I mean, that's something that I don't really know how we're going to combat, but although they're not serious accidents, we are getting hammered with the accidents in the shopping district, which is, you know, a big part of the town.
Who do you mind if I ask who's involved mostly with them? Is it car on car, or is it,
I mean, two people backing out of spots opposite, or cars coming up the lane and backing out. I mean, we're, you know, a few a day.
Driver and attention.
Driver and attention mostly.
There it is.
You know. Mm-hmm. And then just to touch our DWIs in town, and we're seeing an increase. Our DWI arrests are up about 25% already in the first quarter of this year. So they've made about 30 DWI arrests already this year. So not sure what we can attribute that to. There's not really that many bars that stay open. I don't think we really have much that stays open past 9 o'clock in the town anymore, except Buffalo Wild Wings. So it's just interesting this year. They've been going down steadily for the last few years, and then this year they seem to be going up, at least the first quarter.
Yeah, they may not be coming from a bar, right?
Like correct. Could be home, anything.
Party, home, yeah.
But that's just interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. have the last like 3 or 4 years they've been going down, and then this first quarter, I don't know why, but...
Yeah, we've seen an uptick in Kingston as well, as far as crashes, both pedestrian, cyclists, car and car, and it's just a lot more people are out there, and either they're not paying attention, or... whatever it might be, right? I mean, somebody's driving. We haven't had any related to mechanical issues, so it comes down to the driver and their behavior, the cyclist, the pedestrian, whoever, right? So it's going to be a challenge, there's no doubt. Traffic enforcement-wise, it's these officers from traffic safety have kind of split up. One's the afternoon, one's the day shift. They rotate out, and they're still making between 30 and 35 traffic stops per shift, just on their own, not including the regular day shift or regular patrol officer. So they're out there doing it. Wise, we haven't had an increase. Maybe the state police or sheriff on that side, but we don't track that in the city. So this is just for your guys?
Yeah, this is just for our officers in-house.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys are seeing
it. Wherever, but countywide, it's usually accidents on top of. Depends on who's more aggressive on the road, trying to stop cars, what squad it is, and what they're trying to do. So,
unbelievable. Just an announcement. This Thursday, there'll be a ride sponsored by Scenic Hudson down at the Murray Street Gardens, Community Garden. So there's going to be a bike safety check, tire fixing demonstration, and then a ride along the Brickyards Trail. So, open to the public.
Is Brian doing the clinic too? Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to go and take pictures and stuff.
Okay.
The major activity from the UCTC is the update of the Transportation Improvement Program, which is the five-year listing of all federal aid capital projects to occur in Ulster County in the next 5 years. We did a call for, sort of like a call for new projects, and unfortunately we're really only able to add bridge projects. This time around, the existing program, that's projects that are in design on the TIP, all required additional funding, so we get a small fair share formula for our locally sponsored projects, and all those projects need additional capital. And so the funding that was available just goes to the existing program. And it's unfortunate because some of these projects have been on the TIP for 10 years or longer, and that's an opportunity cost for all municipalities in Ulster County who might want to do a safety project or a non-motorized project. So we're trying to do our best to not just encourage those municipalities that are unable to get their design approval, but really put our foot down and say, enough, you're either going to move this project forward or you're not going to receive our federal aid funding. And you can adjust the scope. There's a variety of methods and steps they can take. We hope to have a public meeting, and I hope to complete that draft TIP. Goes to our technical committee, then we have a public meeting in June to be determined the date, and then we'll receive final approval in June. It's quite a process. There are several new bridge projects to be added to the TIP, and New York State DOT has submitted me their draft program. It looks like they're making some significant investments in Ulster County as well. It's a little early for me to announce those projects, but we look forward to when we do our public meeting and get that, that initial level of approval, we can talk more freely about those projects. More to come on the Transportation Improvement Program. And we're also working on our long-range transportation plan. There is a survey open that I've shared the link. I'm hoping folks will share that with their constituents and others. We are going to do a small social media buy to do some targeted advertising of that survey. If people are using social media, they might receive ads for it. And we'll be beginning some tabling of events at, coming up at the Walkway Over the Hudson, New Paltz, Saugerties, other locations, where we'll just get out there and have information about the survey and the project so people can participate. Our new senior transportation planner started today.
Yay.
Very relieved after 8 months of trying to fill that vacancy. And we also found out that if you've been making calls to Dave Stoss, they've been forwarded to his cell phone this entire time. He never told me. So I don't think you see that many calls.
No.
We look very forward to getting Chris Seeger up and running, and hope to introduce you all to him at some time in the near future. That's all I have right now.
Just a question on the TIP, Brian. There's no way that they would automatically fall off after a certain time period. Like, something's been on there 10 years.
Right.
It seemed like...
Yeah, I mean, it's a small number of... I don't want to call them repeat offenders, but there's just one or two. I mean, for example, City of Kingston is an excellent local sponsor. They have taken on very challenging projects, and they move those projects forward. None of them move fast enough for anyone, but they get the projects done. And Ulster County, I must say, Ulster County DPW in terms of bridge and highway projects, and planning department in terms of some of the non-motorized projects, they've had huge challenges. Eminent domain proceedings, the last thing any government entity wants to go through, and they've managed these projects successfully. Other municipalities, smaller municipalities, without the organizational capacity, really struggle with these federal aid, locally sponsored projects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could probably do a lecture on the reasons where the areas where they went wrong along the line. And we try to use that knowledge to educate local sponsors going forward. What to do, what not to do. It's really frustrating for everyone. So the best we can do is continue to crack the whip. I'm now participating in project meetings with their consultants on a more regular basis, which is not necessarily our direct role.
Okay.
It's a time commitment, but I'm doing my best to try to make sure that we're moving these projects forward and making progress. The two big ones, the one big one is Route 209 sidewalks in the hamlet of Kerhonkson, town of Wawarsing. It's actually, on both the DOT and local right-of-way and county right-of-way, but the town of Wawarsing is managing the project, and it's just been a bear to move it forward. But hopefully we'll get to design approval soon, one way or the other.
Where are they going, the sidewalks there?
It's right at the... I don't know the names of the roads, but sidewalk up to the elementary school.
Yep, Academy Street.
Yes, Academy Street, and then a little south, 209 as well. The project design has not been approved, so it may be the case where we need to shorten the project extent if they're unable to get design approval, particularly as costs continue to escalate with inflation.
I guess I got to have to lose a real bad accident there. The lady that's in front for that.
Really?
The guy that was walking from. He was on the right side of the road, she was on the wrong side of the road.
So hopefully we'll get a design approved in the next few years. That's all I have.
Is it trouble they just don't have the money to get hire the consultant to do the design, or what's the...
I mean, in this particular instance, I don't think they hired the right consultant to do the design. I mean, I know these consultants. I work with them on other projects. So they're very qualified consultants, but a federal aid transportation project really requires a specific type of consultant that has experience with the people at Region 8 DOT and with the projects and the funding source and the process.
Okay.
It's a complicated process.
Yeah, sure.
And just because you're a PE doesn't necessarily mean you're the best firm to do a federal aid transportation project.
Fair enough. Thanks.
The area that's a heavily traveled both car and pedestrian, but there's no, the roadway doesn't.
No, lighting's poor as well.
Lighting's poor as well.
Yeah, and there's no pedestrian crossing accommodation.
That's
so those are some of
that are there. It's really, that's not a.
What part? Because I used to live.
It's right in Crocs. It's right by 42nd Street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
City, what is it? The road right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a heavily traveled area. Both by people and by cars. Mm-hmm. And it's not a relatively slow area, supposed to be, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that project's been on the Transportation Improvement Program since I started in 2011, and the cost is at least double because of the delay.
Awful.
I remember reviewing some of the first designs for that when I was the permit engineer.
It's tough because that road, there's no, like, shoulder, really, so I don't know how far they can go into, like... the gas stations area. And stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they're bringing it. It's drainage too that they have to accommodate, and that's where a lot of the costs come in.
Mm-hmm. And a dip going up to Lake Hill there.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Sheriff's Office also submitted the PTS grant, so we're just waiting here for that as well. So, other than that, that's all I have.
New guy, I don't know what to think. He didn't give me anything to bring to the table, so just following suit with what everybody else does.
Little bit of old business. I know, Mark, you had mentioned Lower St. James Street site distance. Yeah. I don't know if you saw or not. This was actually right after a couple of meetings ago. I just kept forgetting to bring it out.
Okay.
We swapped some signage around because as we went there, we got the bridge and everything, so this signage was really kind of in the way.
Right.
So we ended up popping it up
on
top.
I didn't notice.
So you are able to kind of see a little bit better. That's really, that's the sight line in a pickup truck. That's reasonable. We obviously can't move the bridge structure, but there wasn't any vegetation or anything else there. So we did make that change, I think, within like a week of the meeting.
Okay.
So I don't know if they noticed or not, but it's been a couple of
weeks. I'll point that out to the town, though.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. So we did get that addressed. And I know I wasn't here for last meeting, so there's the discussion with the bike routes, bike lanes on 28, the safety, and everything else around it. I had been asking our department, you know, what are the requirements, the minimums and everything. And they're really, our biking guidelines aren't really hashed out in black and white is what I found. Our bike tech coordinator basically stated that, you know, the guidance that we have is in rural areas, or basically in uncurbed area, a 4-foot paved shoulder, and in rural areas where curbing exists, a 5-foot shoulder is suggested. Those are the only, you know, geometrical kind of widths as far as shoulder. There's obviously attention that we have to pay as far as maintenance, keeping them clean and everything else, which we do. I have, you know, every year I have an appointment on my calendar in the spring and fall for us to go out and sweep the bike routes, the 28 shoulder, the 32 shoulder, the EST, to try to keep things clean, especially out by Callahan's because we get a lot of stone and debris, you know, in that particular area. Because I know the safety of the 28, you know, came into discussion, but I don't have any, you know, we don't have anything to hang our hat on as far as, you know, what makes it safe or really what makes it unsafe, as far as, you know, our particular guidance.
It's a terrifying place that's a state bike road.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, the shoulders are way beyond that, you know, the speeds are what they are, but... So more to come. I know there is discussion on it, but you know it's a basically I think a formalized policy that really hasn't been written yet. So
you're just talking about Route 28
This is a generalized.
Just a generalized.
Yeah, because the question was about, you know, the speed, the shoulder width, the accidents, you know, the whole big picture, you know, and what. You know, the safety was brought into question. So intuitively, I just wanted, okay, well, what, you know. Where are we meeting or not meeting any particular guideline or guidance that we do have set forth? And basically that there is no hardline guidance set forth to say one way or another other than just the geometry of the shoulder width, 4 foot being the minimum, 5 foot being desirable. I know we in the region, I was always told that 6 foot, any time that we were doing... you know, putting a road back that we could do any widening or we could do any improvements to shoot to get a 6 foot minimum shoulder to enhance bicycle safety, to just kind of go a little bit beyond. But it didn't, you know, this was from our statewide, or not our state, our regional bike ped coordinator. He wasn't able to give me any, you know, XYZ, LMOP, you know, anything that we could base an analysis as far as, you know, safety is concerned ultimately. So that's just a follow up to the conversation.
I'm wondering if the if the MUCTD changes could have changed any of that stuff.
You know,
though.
A lot of that stuff is still, yeah, there has been a lot of changes to the MUTCD for those things to filter out. That's a big shift, and we are still trying to digest and incorporate that into our own policies. You know, we do follow the federal manual, but a lot of our We have a highway design manual, and we have our own guidance that the department develops based on MUTCD guidance that has to be rewritten. A lot of stuff does go by AASHTO and other standards, but we have our own book that needs to be modified, you know, as a result of that. So I know that is, you know, is forthcoming, not as quick as many of us would like it to be, but, you know, it is in
I mean, it would be interesting to see if, like, things, for example, like, you know, the considering more stretches of roadway to be considered like urban roadway, even though they're in a rural context, just because of the nature of the roadway, the people that are using it, and
correct.
To see those kinds of, you know, changes possibly, you know, coming forth, and then, you know, changes to the roadway to meet the safety standards.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
And I think date, you know, I would hope as we go along with the new, Eric and I were just talking about the new style cameras that we get for traffic counts. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of information that can be pulled from that. A lot of new data that we're going to have with movements and everything that hopefully we'll be able to, you know, shed some light on what is actually happening.
That would be really interesting too, because I think that a lot of times what we're looking at when we look at our populations in terms of, you know, our roadway, we look at our overall population, right, our permanent population, and it's really, you can't go by that in Ulster County anymore.
No,
you just can't.
Very, yes. it is a challenge. It swells at different times of year. The foresting component is huge. Recreation is huge. So there is a lot of that. I mean, I've sat at many, you know, you've sat at the gateway meetings too when they go through the traffic analysis and all that, and a lot of it doesn't get incorporated. So, you know, there are lessons learned, and I think, you know, new things will come, you know, as we move on.
Yeah, in our long-range plan, we're actually... Well, two things. Our count program, which we do annually, we're starting to do more weekend counts because we recognize that the typical is the PM peak that you look at as the big, that's the heaviest data point on the Friday in particular. But now we're seeing it's changing significantly because of travel and tourism primarily and different shopping patterns. So we're going to do more weekend counts. We also have a tool called Replica, which uses cell phone data, essentially, that we're using to do just some very basic analysis of our roadways to try to tell that story in the long-range plan. We're seeing some really interesting results from that, particularly in New Paltz. It's what we expected. On weekends, seasonal weekends, just huge numbers that are way above even the Friday PM peak.
Well, that would be, that's really interesting. Thanks so much for that update. I mean, I think that that's just a big thing that we have to be looking at. But, you know, the numbers don't necessarily reflect the people living here.
Without that, and I'm very curious to see how some of these, how some of our policies are adapted and rewritten, you know, as things do come forth. I know just, you know, I know that the speed limit is a hot topic, and that was a, you know, a pretty thick packet on how we go through and do that currently, so it's a lot to digest, and hopefully they, you know, hopefully we'll take a good hard look at it, and, you know, evolve a little bit. There's a lot of new technology, a lot of new information out there, so we'll optimistic that it will be an improvement. You know what I mean?
Thanks so much.
Or that's just my own gut feeling.
Yeah, hope so.
The only other thing, not really new business, but I did get saw something for a draft plan of Grant Avenue and 9W, that did make a location for some pedestrian improvements. I don't know if you saw that either.
Where's that?
Grant Avenue out by the Quick Check and Romeo Chevy.
Okay, no, I had.
So that it's you know, it's not for sure. It's just an advanced detail plan set, but that location was chosen for some crosswalks on all four quadrants, and I think there's a little slip ramp as you're traveling north to kind of slide in there. That's going to go away.
That's
antiquated.
This location is in my head for some reason.
By the
cow. I don't see the ADP plans, but
Creighton Manning's the consultant doing the work.
That's why, that's because they were our consultant for the plan for the corridor management plan.
Yep.
And I think that's where it came up in discussions.
So another, you know, there are things going on out there. The adaptive signal technology is moving forward. We've asked that to try to get incorporated a little further out, because initially it wasn't going out to Adams with new development. We're seeing if the permittee can at least get that in there, or we can make some changes to get that included in there. So that corridor is, you know, being looked at. We've got the department, we've gotten some fairly decent, you know, pedestrian stuff. We can always use more, but I know Mark was saying, you know, the work in Rosendale when we went out and looked at the sidewalk, and I mean, I drive the road a lot, but I had no idea how bad it was. You know, we kind of joke around the town, you know, fixing the bad stuff, fixing the worst stuff, and that is some of the worst. It's just about non-reversible.
Correct. Especially if you're disabled.
Or not. Definitely a challenging location. So seems like we're doing really good in those investments. We got a good bike bed coordinator program. So that's all I have.
Okay, in Rosendale, the chief of police asked me to report that the state of the quality of the condition of the state roads throughout the town are in really bad condition. No surprise to anyone here, I'm sure. And he will follow up with a letter in writing. Speeding continues to unabated, especially from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., especially by trucks along 213 and 32.
Imagine if those roads were in good shape, how fast they'd go.
that's the only unintended consequence.
Put in the potholes back. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
Actually, that does it. So don't be careful what you wish for. Now, I've been asked to inquire about how trucks are weighted. How do we know that trucks that are barreling down the street, or just driving down the street, are properly are within their weight limits? Because
if you're a commercial vehicle traffic enforcer, uh-huh. you'll be able to see that. They carry scales with them.
Okay.
You'll be able to tell probably by the tires of the truck and where the weight is in the truck at all times.
Okay.
Usually.
Okay. And that is police officers do that work or?
Not well. Uh-huh. We can, but we don't.
Okay.
There's so much to pulling over a truck that it is. Slot above us.
Hmm.
Things that we don't know. Medical cars, like they have to have things.
And I
we
see.
Don't know that.
Okay.
And then there are a lot of books, all this stuff. That's why it's state police.
I've
been tasked with straight doing that.
Okay. So that's how it gets enforced, basically.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's a lot more things. It's not just the weight that you can get them with.
Mm-hmm.
Their mud flaps have to be a certain distance, and
okay.
they have to extend down a certain way. The lights on the truck have to be. You can hit them. You can put the truck out of service. We don't have the power to do that. State police does.
I see.
So it's little things, but very high end money. If
mm-hmm.
it's if you hit them with the tickets.
I see. Okay, that's good to know. And so the state mostly.
So I mean, mm-hmm. there's a guy that probably mm-hmm. hangs around more like 209 corridor 52 down
mm-hmm.
in that area, maybe even 9W. I don't know how many they have, but
mm-hmm.
you call them, they'll come right here. They will definitely enforce.
Mm-hmm. Are they specially marked cars, or are they just
usually SUVs?
SUVs,
just because of stuff they come with. It. Yeah, but the scale just goes underneath each tire. You'll be able to tell based on the weight of each little area.
Okay, good to know. Next, crosswalks are in desperate need of repainting. I'm sure it's a countywide thing, but definitely in Rosendale, they're really fading fast. And then lastly, I've been following up on the traffic study, and I don't know if either of you guys have any. In the report on that, because I did call and
I did submit an inquiry. It's
okay.
ongoing.
Okay.
They are nearing completion
okay.
in Rosendale and in New Paltz.
Okay.
But I haven't received any results.
Do you know if they included the two resolutions that we proposed from the town?
I don't know.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
So a couple of things. One, May 13th is our big lobby day. So we will be traveling to Albany with Families for Safe Streets and the New York Safe Streets Coalition and the New York State Bike Coalition. And I think I've provided the list of things that we are championing. And there is going to be a free bus leaving from Kingston
mm-hmm.
10 a.m. So anyone who wants to sign up for that, please do. I mean, this is a really important time to get out there and let your elected people know that.
Where's the bus at?
It's going to be leaving from the park and ride in Kingston at 10 a.m. And I can send out, I'll send Brian the registration. He can send that to everybody. So we just ask that people register so we know how many people are getting on the bus. And you get lunch. So the other thing I would like to mention is we did our first Kingston Critical ride this season. We went to the Wart Street Bridge. A representative from Sarah Hanna-Schrist's office was came with us, and we talked a little bit about the speed limit situation and the effort to drop the speed limit on the Wart Street Bridge and how interesting that was because it is a state road. And there has been a request put in to drop it to 25. And another very interesting thing that they mentioned is that they are... so too. And there was one other thing I wanted to mention. But, oh. So I did forward this to Brian. I am... Well, I don't want to say I. John Story and myself and the city of Kingston... were featured in Prevention Magazine this May in a really great, I'm going to say this, I believe this reporter, she's a Kingston, or author I should say, did outstanding research and really spoke to really good people. And I think she really got to the heart. I mean, it's, when you're out there kind of telling these stories and stuff, you're always like, you feel a little bit like, I'm not sure if they really got what I was trying to say, and I really feel like this one did good. I also found out, which kind of made me a little nauseous, that it's got over, I think, 2 million subscribers. So, at a lot of doctor's offices, it's going to be sitting in. So, yeah, I hope people check it out. You know, I think it was a, you know, even though it's a tough subject, I think the messaging in it was, you know, as helpful as it can be in saying that this can be fixed. And we know how to fix it.
Congratulations.
So,
yeah. Nicely done. I just want to respond to Safe Streets for All. Ulster County is applying again for a planning grant. I don't know if the city of Kingston will apply or not. We were going back and forth trying to determine what the best way forward is.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing, just a quick follow-up. Just the town of Esopus did submit a resolution requesting a 30-mile-an-hour speed
on
their section of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, the current posted speed limit for the bridge all the way out to 9W is 40 miles an hour. That's what's actually on the books. I solicited both communities to try to get a uniform speed limit for the whole thing. So it's in the department. Whether or not the 25 will go, I don't know. But, you know, the idea was to get a uniform speed limit on the bridge. That's what started the conversation.
Yeah, I had gone to the town. I mentioned here a while back, I had gone to the town board and asked them to do that, and they did. And
posted, right? Posted is 30 on the city side and 40 on the town side, but the entire thing is actually 40. As far as if somebody took it, that's the official speed limit for the entire, from a Beale Street out to 9W.
So very crazy.
My question would be, how do we enforce that?
Technically, you can't.
Because if you get,
but
they
absolutely, and you would lose at this point in time. But that's why we're trying to get the resolutions in line so we can make a uniform speed limit and make it correct across the entire structure.
Yeah, the 25, actually, that kind of took me by surprise. I did not expect the mayor to go ahead and do that, but they did.
They've been on some bridges.
And that is
if you sit on our side and they come across, that it doesn't turn to 40, so you come around and up the hill.
Yeah.
It's like perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
And they follow them, and they're just like, oh, my God, it's 25,
not
45 coming across that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. That was that.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but Brian, on the UT, on the Safe Streets for All planning grant, I know nothing about this, so is it the planning grant first and then the implementation grant, and how does one, you can't do one before the other, correct?
I don't know if you can.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, did you listen to the webinar?
No.
They want an action plan. That's what
action
they want
plan.
First.
Okay. I mean, you don't necessarily need a Safe Streets for All action plan. The action plan needs to meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be a Vision Zero. That is one format, but it doesn't need to be Vision Zero, quote-unquote.
Okay.
But it does have to be if you're doing it for the first time, it does have to be an action plan first.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
And then they'll go into implementation. Or a demonstration also is something towns can do. The webinars are online.
And
I think I saw a YouTube thing that I can
follow. Yeah. They're all recorded.
Okay.
They were actually very informative. If anyone's interested, they really should listen to them.
Thank you. And if the town board decides to do it, I'll definitely let you know.
Thank you.
On the Socrates side of things, STAC meets every other month, so we actually meet next week. So I've got nothing official from STAC. I know they put in for a traffic enforcement grant, and that's it on the Socrates side of things.
Sorry to put it again. Does every town have a traffic? Traffic advisory board?
No, they have to form one.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
The town and the village of Socrates formed one about 20 some odd years ago.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Does Kingston have one? Do we know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, City of Kingston. uh-huh. Saugerties.
Okay.
Hurley has one. They're called the Safety Committee.
Okay.
It's not as apparent. New Paltz has always had a bike ped safety committee.
Okay.
Town and village combined.
Right. Okay.
Yep. And I feel like I'm leaving one out. We tried to get one started in Ellenville, but it didn't really take off.
Woodstock has one, right?
Woodstock. Woodstock.
Yes.
Yeah, as of like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of other towns, but you know, we don't have one in Rosenau.
Never did, as far as you know.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Ran into Chief Sutton, New Paltz Chief of Police. The town of, well, New Paltz itself is planning on doing a community event in August, the same as they did last year. I would like to invite New Paltz Transportation to provide a school bus. They're planning to do this event at the fairgrounds. So there'll be a lot more open space where last year they did it at, on their facility out on North Parkuna's Road. So if that's, you know, that's a good opportunity to at least try to educate a community. So if he gets in touch with me, I will try to get a school bus out there. And if anyone wants to join me with bikes or any other, you know, any other kind of educational information, you know, let me know. He's supposed to be contacting me as soon as we have a definite date. But it did have quite a bit of a turnout last year. And they, you know, they gave out hamburgers. They had kids go meet, you know, meet police, law enforcement, go into vehicles. I think there was even an ambulance there so that they could see what it looked like.
You should see if someone will do a car seat check.
Car seat check would be great.
You've got people here who are applying for those grants. They have to do the car seat check. So
yeah.
See if someone's got a trailer and do a car seat check for you there.
Yeah.
That would be a great event for them.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's other towns doing similar things in Ulster County, but I think it's, you know, it's a nice opportunity to educate our towns.
Yeah, I'll talk to Justin at the Y, and once you have a date, I'll strongly encourage him to participate because that's right up his alley.
Okay.
You know, helmets, vests, safety gear, coloring books, you know,
yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff we can hand out. Yes. You know, it would be great.
That's after the county fair.
Yeah. Last year it was. It was like around the 20th.
Oh, kind of. Just before school.
Right before school.
Wow. Yeah. So that'd be a great thing.
Sticking to the same time on the calendar. He didn't have a definite date yet.
Yeah, getting people ready for back to school and school buses.
Right.
You know that,
back on the roads. Yeah. Good time.
See if you can get a UCAT bus there too.
We can. If they're doing it at the county fairgrounds, there's plenty of space.
Yeah. You contact the county executive's office, and they're really good with that if they can do it.
Yeah.
You can always CC me.
Yeah. Okay.
Grease the wheels.
Yep. Thank you.
Are we on for the 20th?
We have a tentative date for the 20th. As soon as we have confirmation, myself and Eric will be going out to the Highland Board of Education meeting, which is May 20th, and doing a presentation for the School Bus Driver of the Year.
Great.
Nice.
Cool. Thank you.
I just want to add one thing that I forgot, because you'd like to keep track of this. Earth Day, I did give out 30 vets, 15 to New Paltz on their Earth Day event, and 15 to the Woodstock Complete Streets Advisory for their event. So.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it. Sorry.
Part of the Shokan Reservoir, Shokan Century Program, it's a multi-billion-dollar project to upgrade the facilities at the Shokan Reservoir and around the Shokan Reservoir. Includes like a new dividing wire bridge. It's big-time funding. May 7th through May what do I have already down here? 20th, we're going to be installing traffic or turning movement counts. These are the cameras. They're kind of on a tripod. They're at an intersection. It seems to be the newer technology opposed to the automatic trip recorders that they've used, the tubes, if you will, on the roads.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Doing traffic studies at Route 375 and Route 28, Reservoir Road and 28, and Route 28A East and Spillway Road. I put that out there because you're going to probably be seeing these cameras when we pulled them out 2 years ago. Social media went crazy that New York City was Big Brother. They were spying on the locals. These are probably the newest technology, as Dave and I think Brian both mentioned.
Be warned, a few of ours went missing.
Wow.
The utility poles, because we had that problem in Central Hudson.
Central Hudson.
Well, they were illegally attached to utility poles. You can't just put something on there, and they were dangerously high. So.
Gotcha.
I don't remember being with our contractor.
The other we have is we're going to be doing borings in the Shokan Reservoir. We're also going to be doing some borings on what we call Middle Dike. For familiarity, that's what we call Brick Hill or Monument Road, the Manuel Ballard side. Right there, we're going to be doing two borings. So that section right there is going to be closed for 1 day. And then that's on June 2nd. That'll be closed for a day. And then when we finish those boring, we're going to be offloading a barge. Then it'll be opened up again on June 3rd for normal pedestrian traffic. Later in the month, mid-month, we're going to have to close it down for a week, that little section of road. It'll be open from what we call Frying Pan to the Ballards. And then it'll be open up on the west side. We call Five Pines and Olive Bridge Dam area. It'll be open. Aerators will be open. Shokan Trail will be open. There'll be a little section that will be closed off. We're trying to work it to where we get a pedestrian path, but we're going to have boring machines there, equipment, heavy equipment running. So it's probably best for public safety that they're not there. We just got approval for this just a couple hours ago because we weren't going to do it because we were going to shut down the road, and we heard a lot of concerns that people plan their vacations, the holidays, around walking on New York City reservoirs. But we're working around it, trying to make it accommodating for everybody, but there will be some closures at times in certain walk areas, unfortunately.
Along the trail? Or
just that one section. There'll be one section right there by the Manuel Ballards.
Okay.
Like a 50-foot swath that'll be closed off.
All right. That's because it was just like, you can't close the trail.
Let me reiterate that.
Yeah.
It's a promenade.
Yeah, okay.
The Shokan Trail will be open.
Gotcha.
The fountain areas will be open. Olive Bridge Dam section will be open.
Okay.
You know, and this is, I mean, this is why we got
my boss would have
we were
heart.
Delayed for a long time because this is a must. Unfortunately, with respect to pedestrians, bicycles, we're trying to put in a new bridge, and you know, something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
And change a bike route or do circles or something. You know, I don't know what to respectively say, but it has to be done. That's all I had for New York City roads area at this time. I think that closes up member updates. Brian, we'll move on to old business.
Sure. We held the 2025 School Bus Driver of the Year award ceremony. It was a great success. Mary Duca, who had nearly 40 years of driving experience. It said 30 on the application, but she corrected the county executive during the ceremony that it was actually 39 years, which was fantastic. So we provide a gift certificate, printed awards, and the plaque and the legacy plaque goes, the individual receiving the award gets a plaque, and then a legacy plaque showing all the previous recipients goes to the school district.
Oh, wow.
So that was very nice. Thank you, everyone, for Jonna and Eric, for your assistance. I think it was a great ceremony. Ulster County Bicycle and Pedestrian Policy. I have no updates here. I do want to get a meeting on our calendars so we can at least touch base and talk about what we hope to accomplish here. I apologize for that. I've just been inundated with work. There's also a twist or a wrinkle to this. I understand that Legislator Stewart is pursuing a new bike ped policy for Ulster County, and I've spoken with my deputy county executive that I think you should check with the Traffic Safety Board and check with the Transportation Council before he takes on an initiative of this size and gravity. And I know that Brendan Masterson has the same concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure he was aware of the existing policy before he took this on and its implications, financial and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make everyone aware that that's something that...
Do we have a copy? Can you send me what he's proposing?
I can try. I've really only heard this by word of mouth from my director through committee discussions.
Okay.
It's been a bit of a surprise, and it came to me in a roundabout fashion.
Which committee is it? Is it transportation?
I'm not sure. There is a transportation committee now, but it might be going through Public Works as well.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that Eric is out of the country at the moment.
Okay.
So questions, at least for the near future, are going unanswered.
Gotcha.
But we don't want to work across purposes. And I think a great place to start if you're promulgating legislation is a body like this that has a lot of members who are pretty informed and willing to do the work to put forth good recommendations. It makes sense for them to touch base with this committee, the Transportation Council to an extent, and then the departments as well. So we'll work with Legislator Stewart. There also, I understand that someone at the legislature is considering a 3-foot passing law.
Yeah, that's
at the county level.
That's I don't know what his last name is. From Socrates. He talked. He was at the meeting with the county executive that we were at. He was that legislator.
Aaron Levine.
Yes.
Okay.
He is. He was not aware that there has been a long time effort to create a 3-foot passing law in New York State. You know, Suffolk County does have a 3-foot passing law at the county level. It's not unheard of. You know, counties do set their own standards sometimes. You know, I emailed him right after that meeting to, you know, follow up and ask some questions, and he didn't respond. So I don't know. I don't even know what the legislation looks like that he's proposing. He just talked to me about it.
It's interesting. I thought there was a law on Long Island.
So it's Suffolk,
Suffolk County. But it sounds like it would be a nightmare to enforce. For drivers outside of Ulster County, when you're entering the county, how do you inform them?
Yeah, here's the thing about 3-foot passing laws. All right. One, the point of them really is not enforcement. It's education and setting a standard. It is really, you know, the right now what's on the books could be enforced also. It says, a safe passing distance. That's not enforced. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, stir up stuff, but that's rarely enforced also.
Objective there. That
yeah.
Up into interpretation.
But so is 3 foot, though, honestly. So is 3 foot. It's still a question of, you know, unless there was a camera there or someone, you know, and that actually did come up. Of course, that's probably going to be a really difficult thing to enforce. But what you can do is, if you've got the law and the standard, is you can put it into the manuals. And now you've got a clear, defined, safe passing that is now part of the books. You know, it's a, you know, and let's not forget 28 other states, I think more,
right,
do have this standard. I think we get caught up when we call it a law. Honestly, but you have to, because that's what it is. But really, it's more of a standard. This is when I taught the impaired driving program, and I used to, you know, open up with talking about how to protect vulnerable road users, people would legitimately say, what do I do when I come up to a cyclist? What do I do? You know, my first, slow down, you know, and then I could only say, really, well, there is a, you know, there's a best practice, right? And that's 3 to 4 feet at least. But it's not a law. That's just your best practice. You know, so I think that there, that even though, just to that point, even I don't expect a lot of tickets from it. I don't think that anyone does. I don't think that's the, I think people get tripped up on that.
So, just to close the loop, I have spoken with my deputy county executive, Amanda LaValle, and she and I both agree that we will continue to try to redirect our legislative members to this committee, because I think, as you just very well showed everybody, I think this is a well-informed committee, and it's a great place that we should begin these conversations. And I think it could save some time and really, you know, be an educated moment for our legislators. So we will continue to do that.
Maybe we should invite him. Should we?
Certainly. I can certainly invite.
What do you think? You know,
right,
I mean,
now, our the members of the Public Safety Committee are all on this distribution list, because that's the, technically the legislative committee that we report to. I'm certainly happy to try to reach out. This has been all very recent developments that I found out last week that these are occurring, and I'm wondering, I'm not really sure how, if they're moving forward in committee right now. But certainly, I know that Amanda is reaching out to them and redirecting them to this board, so I may do as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah, sure. It seems like a great idea to invite any legislator who's working on a traffic safety thing to come to the board and issue them a formal invitation to speak about their idea, get feedback.
Right. I mean, it's my understanding that Legislator Stewart wasn't aware of the 2008 policy to begin with. And, I mean, it's had some definite impact, and a lot of changes have been made on Ulster County facilities, but there's limitations as well in what can be done within a certain price point. That's all I had on item B. I don't have any updates for education outreach activities at this point. Item D, reappointments are moving forward for Quinn and Lou, and we have two applications in pending. It's my understanding that the county executive will make those soon. So I believe you should expect a letter in the mail, or they'll come to me and I'll distribute them. So once you get that letter, then it has to get approval by the legislature. And I already provided a brief update on the New York State DOT traffic safety requests. Those are the safety studies.
Okay.
So they are nearing completion is what I was told by our deputy director at Region 8. Okay. And then item F is actually Lou.
Yeah, we passed that resolution last month. It was distributed to the county exec and to the legislature. So I think that item is closed.
Has it been discussed by the advisory
committee? I'm not sure that it's actually been discussed at the UND advisory committee. They've it's been a hot debate over there. So
they're meeting Thursday, right? There's a meeting coming up?
Yes, yeah. 2 p.m.
If, on 2 p.m. on Thursday.
I believe so. They're expecting to vote on a recommendation.
Because they didn't have enough members last time. That's what I read. I wasn't there. But
that is correct. They were a member shy of passing any motion.
Okay, well, good.
Those are all the updates under our old business.
Do we want to touch upon the Schaller Award at all? We didn't award it this year. Would you like to give an update on it not being awarded?
Sure, I'll give that up.
Sure.
We didn't receive any candidate submissions for completed packages. We received two packages. One was incomplete. It was just sent with links. And that was it as far as filling up. I'll have your time. I just want to explain.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If I'm saying something incorrect, please interrupt me.
Well, you can just identify which one you're talking about.
No. It's Lou submitted. Matthew Sutton.
Volunteer firefighter struck by a car in the course of responding to another collision, suffered a traumatic brain injury.
Right. That's basically about the information we had for the application.
I don't know what else we need to know, but go on.
You provided a copy of
that. We provided contact information as well, email address, home address, phone number.
So let me finish saying from the board's perspective on how we'd handle this.
The executive committee, you mean?
Yes. Who was always, Lou, and I want to state this again, the clarification, because I think there's something missed in the many emails we had on this. When this Charles Schaller Award was created by Diane, myself, and Dave, were you on part of that?
Yeah.
We put that together to honor Charles Schaller. So we have always historically done it with the three of us getting together, meeting, reviewing the packages, selecting a candidate.
Is there a reason why this hasn't been decided by the board? I mean,
is there a reason this has never come up before?
Well, this year we failed to award it, so I would propose that next year we decide as a board in advance, because failure to award the award is an insult to the award, from my perspective.
Well,
I would think we had a very qualified candidate, someone who was a volunteer firefighter who suffered a traumatic brain injury.
Nobody's debating that, you.
Okay, so how is this person not qualified?
I have a copy of the application. I'm going to submit it.
This application was revised last year. That was the date on it when I filled it out. The question I would ask is, how much process do we need behind awarding a volunteer firefighter who suffered a traumatic brain injury in the course of responding to a crash by another vehicle when there's no other candidates? How much more information do we need?
A letter of recommendation from his superior.
Well, you got a
would
letter
have been sufficient.
A letter of recommendation. You got a recommendation from a board member. You got a second from a board member.
You admitted on the form that you didn't even know the man.
I don't have to personally know him. I know what occurred.
I would like a letter of recommendation from his supervisor
okay.
to just confirm that he's
perhaps
an employee
next year
and that he's worthy of the award.
What?
I think
what do you mean worthy of the award?
Can I explain to you? Because I've been on this board since 2007. I've actually been probably, I think, the one that has been on here the longest, and I've worked with Charlie for several years. And the spirit that was developed with this award was to provide someone who really has dedicated a lifetime commitment to public safety. That, you know, that's what Charlie was. Charlie was a guy that just, for his, you know, everything revolved around that. All the work that he did, constant volunteer time, everything. He lived it, he breathed it. And it was, you know, the people like Tom, all the people that have historically received this award have really, you know, have had just a lifetime of achievements and have been recognized by their peers through letters of recommendation and on and on and on. And that application just didn't fit that bill. And I would argue
that anyone who suffers a traumatic brain injury in the course of service has made a lifetime dedication in advance.
That is what the people that know Charlie and how this award came about, that has been the spirit and the intention behind it. And that application, we honestly didn't felt that it went with the spirit of the award. That was my vote.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for it, but again, it just wasn't there. It was just to give it to somebody. That's what it felt like. Well, here's just somebody. Let me grab an article out of a paper, find somebody, and let's acknowledge them. No, let's find a pillar of this community. That's what we're looking
for. We should look back at our transcript from the prior meeting where we discussed the lack of nominations for this award and the desire for a nominee to be materialized. This is an individual who has in advance sacrificed part of his life.
And somebody else was nominated that withdrew because of health issues. That would have actually been a very suitable candidate.
If they were better, they could have been picked.
And they would have been picked if they weren't going in for surgery and may not even be around next year. So the application was withdrawn at the last minute, and the decision was made. I mean, you know, and I hope I'm speaking from sincerity.
Yeah.
I'm not trying. There's nothing There's no foul play. There's
perhaps
no,
instead of the two of you deciding, it's three. You have myself as secretary.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a member of the executive board.
Okay. Instead of the three of you deciding, maybe next year we handle this as a board decision, because I think this spirit issuing the award should be an important thing, an acknowledgement to someone who has really sacrificed the part of the future of their life. Would be a nice recognition given the sacrifice they've made. And just sitting on the award and not giving it to anybody, what are you accomplishing there?
You're reserving the integrity of what the award was intended for.
Right. Well,
the award is not given annually?
It is given annually.
Is it? No, I mean, has it?
The application is opened annually.
But
there was some time off.
There was
off
a couple years where we didn't
give it. That's what I remember. During COVID. There wasn't actually an award given every single year.
Correct.
And if there isn't an award, if the board or the committee doesn't feel that there's a candidate, I don't think it hurts the award to say, well, this year we're it's not happening. I mean, you don't have to give an award.
It was never intended to have to be given
every
year.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure
of
the history.
To recognize, someone has contributed a certain level to the community.
If it's worthy of issuance by the board, why don't we next year, as a board, decide who we pick? So it doesn't have to sort of last minute three out of 12 people deciding situation.
We have been up against time constraints because of the schedule. The date of the ceremony is predetermined because of Operation Safe Stop. And I feel like it seems like we sometimes need to expedite that decision-making process, and it's easier to do it with the executive committee because it's not a designated task in the bylaws, so it's an action reserved for the executive committee.
Well, what if, rather than change the spirit of the Charlie Schiller Award?
Schiller.
That I also remember does not get issued every year because often there is not a candidate. But why don't instead we propose a new category? Is there anything that says that we can't once a year honor somebody who through their service or through some personal sacrifice on traffic safety every year, can we find somebody? I'm sure once a year, we could probably find more than one person who would suit that and just honor that person and make this something and keep the integrity of, because that's like a lifetime achievement award. And this is something, I think, this is a little different.
Sure, there could be another thing.
Well,
maybe
what you described is the description of the Charlie Schiller Award. I mean, if you read the cover of the application award.
But that's not what I just heard described. I heard everybody here said that the award is a lifetime, kind of a lifetime's worth of work.
And maybe that narrative needs to be clarified on the award form. But I'm not so sure that we would, the situation, if we had done that, Rosemary, in 2025, I'm not sure we would have received any other applicants.
Why don't I read the four sentences aloud? Mr. Charles Schaller was the Ulster County Traffic Safety Coordinator for approximately 10 years and had a long-term interest in traffic safety and keeping the roadways safe for Ulster County, New York residents. The Charles Schaller Award is an annual recognition that recognizes an individual who's dedicated, devoted, and committed to traffic safety. The nominee has demonstrated outstanding service and dedication in protecting and serving the citizens of this county in one or more of the following fields: traffic safety, first responder, law enforcement, highway official, transportation planning, and transportation education. Doesn't actually sound to me like a lifetime achievement award. It sounds like somebody who's given a substantial, who is dedicated, devoted, and committed to traffic safety, and has demonstrated outstanding service and dedication in protecting and serving citizens. So we have different opinions about whether this candidate was qualified, the lack of a letter from their employer nominating them.
Anyone from the community would have been helpful. I mean, and I draw the contrast to the School Bus Driver of the Year award, when you have these heartfelt, handwritten messages about the awardees.
Are we about process or outcomes? The outcome here would be issuing an award to someone who made a significant sacrifice.
I want somebody to speak to the individual's character, so I'm not giving an award to somebody who maybe has a DWI or some traffic safety violation.
Does that matter at that point in time? He suffered a brain injury in the course of service.
To the individual's character, I think it does.
You know, if we want an award...
What's the blowback here? What's the worst-case scenario? This person was like a little bit less than 100% deserving, so therefore we'll issue no award unless we do a background check on him. Are you going to look up his?
Well,
ask for his driver's license.
We're looking at the spirit of the Charles Schaller Award. If you want to propose
of this is someone who made a significant sacrifice.
That's your interpretation. I appreciate that. I think we all do.
Yeah,
understand it. If you want to propose a second award to the board,
so be it. I'm going to propose that we stick with this one award and we decide as a board next year in advance. And if we have no nominees, then we have no nominees. If someone comes forward with anything, the board can discuss it and decide whether they feel that person is qualified. We don't need to do a background check here. We're not making them some sort of top-level elected official or something. This isn't that high stakes, folks. Well, not awarding to somebody who's made a significant sacrifice seems like a real miss for this body.
So, Lou, if you want me to, I'll put it to the board, and we can vote on it.
Sure.
So the resolution, I'm trying to get the word right now, so I've lost the word right now. I apologize. The motion is the Charles Schaller Award.
To be decided by the board.
To be decided by the board. Whole.
Yeah, as we would decide anything else.
The applications will be reviewed. No. By the board.
Yeah. And the nominee will be picked by the board.
And picked, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
well, the whole process.
Yeah. All is in favor?
I mean, in the future, sure. I don't think it's going to change anything right now.
I think we should also redefine what's required.
I just want to get this clarification. Yeah.
I think we need a committee to work on this if we're going to start redefining the
I just want to put the motion forward. All is in favor of having
this. Second that motion.
All in favor? One, two, three, four. Is that correct?
Opposed?
Opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six.
The motion fails.
The motion fails. Keeping the Charlotte Schaller Award as it has been.
Cool.
Subject matter closed?
Yes. Moving right along, I guess.
Moving on to new business.
I was...
Oh, we didn't collect abstentions from that vote. So who abstained? Were there any abstentions?
One.
Okay.
And Adam is not a voting member.
I don't know enough about it to say...
Well, Adam, I spoke with Brendan. He should have briefed you. Only Brendan can vote on behalf of the...
That's good.
Of the
good.
Are we all... Proceed.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for talking through it. The opinions of the majority of the board are clear. I respect that process, though I'm personally disappointed by the outcome of not having issued this award this year, and I felt we had it qualified. I've already made that point. So I do appreciate the time for discussion, and I'm ready to move on.
Are we under new business?
Yes, sir.
I was informed by the Commissioner of Finance that there is a balance in a reserve fund of $3,598.10. This was the source of the funding is unknown. It appears to be some series of donations made by members of the public, unsolicited. To the Traffic Safety Board going back many years ago. The date 2014 is notable because that's when the Finance Department started its new accounting program. And so anything that was in there prior to 2014, data is limited. But the director requested that we decide what to do with these funds, either close the account or identify an appropriate use for them. There is a misprint on the agenda. The final sentence, any use of funds requires legislative approval, is not correct.
Okay.
I spoke with the budget director, Ken Juris, today, and he discussed some options that we can take. Certainly legislative approval isn't a bad idea, but the board can decide what to do with the funding on its own. And I believe the funding would be put into a reserve account under the planning department, which is obviously my department, and then this committee can simply pass a resolution in identifying the specific use of the funding, and then it would authorize me as the coordinator to make a purchase of some sort and then to provide that information back to the finance department, and the drawdown would occur. The important thing is that I think that we don't lose the funds, and that we try to use them appropriately for some sort of action or activity or event. I'm not sure what. That's the purpose of this item that I want us to begin thinking about and discussing. We don't need to make a decision tonight. The director of finance is perfectly happy knowing that we're just considering it and going to take care of it in the near future. So I would like to open the table for just general discussion right now, and I want folks to go away from the meeting tonight thinking about what they feel might be appropriate purchases. I'll just begin by saying last year we did do a small purchase of 300 vests and a separate purchase of 50 vests and reflective materials. These are not expensive items. That was a total cost. The original vests were from UCAT, so I don't know what the costs. They were donated. Oh, but wow. When I did a $300 purchase, or the 300 item purchase, it was in the $700 or $800 price range. So vests, I think there's continues to be a demand. I think that demand, you know, we haven't seen the peak of it yet, so that might just be an easy way forward here. And other reflective devices, maybe we can consider those, and I'm really open to ideas on how we do it.
Yeah, I would love to try and do some kind of small scale tactical urbanism kind of deal. You know, have towns demonstrate with a very small amount of money temporarily what they could do with their, you know, and people do this with sidewalks, chalk, and planters, right? What could you do to this intersection to make it better? And I think you could really get some good press out of that too, especially depending on who you had. Like Washington Avenue, for example, in Kingston has a really, really involved group of people from George Washington School. Been really interested in trying to fix some of the intersections along Washington Avenue. If we were able to give out like maybe $500 stipends to maybe three or four different projects, you know, and really highlight it, you know, make sure it gets into the newspaper somehow and make sure that people know that this was a traffic safety board idea and this is coming right from the community.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. I will say the bureaucrat in me doesn't like the idea of giving out a stipend to a community group.
Yeah.
Because of the purchasing requirements. And we are pretty tight and explicit with reporting requirements at Ulster County. But I don't want to be the wet towel because I think that's otherwise a great idea. And we should continue to consider it.
I mean, maybe we could just say, like, there's just a couple of materials we can give you, rather than saying we're going to give you 500. Like, we can give you a crate of chalk, and we can give you six planters, and we can give you
buy the materials for
and
something tangible to get.
Show us what you can do with it. Maybe something like that.
That's mm-hmm. even a kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I like that.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be them deciding what they were buying. It would be us saying, what can you do at your intersection with our kit?
Brian, mm-hmm. could you buy apparel? And I say this for the board. I think in that way, as many of us represent
the communities and respective communities a polo shirt type of shirt with, you know, traffic safety board logo on it, or a collared shirt to wear to events, public events. I don't think that'd be astronomical using all this 3,500, but I'm just wondering if that's something that's worth considering.
Yeah, that would be allowable as well. A lot of departments. I'm always jealous of the DPW. Vests and pullovers that I see Brendan wearing.
Like a TSB on the back. Big ladder.
It would be nice to see it spread it throughout Ulster County entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not much money, but there are townships that are forgotten.
Totally.
So and if we can spread it even even as far as Ellenville, Walk Hill, townships that,
you
know, Plattick Hill, even north of us, but there are townships that are just forgotten about.
Well, they're all there on the board, I'm pretty sure, right?
There you go.
So we could put a care package, I think somebody said about for each
or
one of the
maybe
towns.
Yeah, just, every town's got... Every town's got, like, a senior center or something like that. Every town's got some of the, you know, often they'll be the kind of like the county goes to the people to for them to fill out, like, applications for food stamps and things like that. Why don't we give vests, why don't we give, like, little packages to those places, too, and be like, here, like, you could hand this out as your, as if, when people come. Just give it to them, you know. I mean, I think... When I'm walking around with these vests, I have no problem getting rid of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are always like, "Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that."
And I think someone from the board should deliver to each of the townships. I mean, I don't mind taking a few townships and doing it myself, but to be out there as board members, is important.
I think so too. I think that's really important too.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, to each town supervisor or somebody, you know, something like that.
But schedule an appointment, go out as a board member, and have a little presentation.
I don't mind
doing it.
Well, my only issue with giving it to people like supervisors, and not to knock them, I mean, but often what happens is you hand that box, and they go, okay, I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it. And then 3 years later, you find the box. You know, I just love the idea of making sure it's, like, those are the people are right there, and you give it to them right there.
I have that in some areas, like out of Arnaburg, for example, there's, like, three people
on the board.
Yeah. So
yeah, no, that's a different scenario.
It's out of Arnaburg. It's probably still snowing up there right now.
It's true. It's very true.
I think maybe we issue the invitation...
And see who responds, because if a community doesn't respond, I don't know if I'm.
And that's a good point. Because
they might not have a way to distribute them, or they just might not be interested. And if that's the case, someone who is interested, maybe
that's
should get.
True.
The Hall Road has got to be.
But that would be a good.
That's the last tier.
The county exec do a program like this just 6 months ago or so?
What, the vet?
Yeah.
That was.
Can we just have a little order here.
too many good ideas. But.
So the county executive's office did do a distribution of vests a few months ago, and we had 5 predetermined locations. We tried to consider geographic balance, and I reached out to those municipalities, and there was a small number of vests distributed. So Plattick Hill, I believe, Saugerties, our own DMV, maybe a couple others. I don't remember all the locations. And then the county executive did the communications. Those vests went in one day at every location. They were gone.
Yeah. No.
I'm not looking for a project here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of great ideas. I don't want to lose those ideas. But I also want to remind that there's a limit to what we might be able to accomplish this year with this amount of money and the time we have. And maybe we want to just think about low-hanging fruit. And if there's a proposal that is a little more elaborate and involved, I need some more input and design on how that's going to be executed, rather than just having ideas thrown at me, because I will not be able to execute them. I'll be perfectly honest. So I want us to please continue the discussion of ideas, but we need more of a concrete proposal also. And then I guess we could do a motion or something later on at the next meeting,
Brian,
or at a future meeting.
Would you be okay with people emailing their ideas to you, the formulated thoughts on it?
Sure.
Maybe at the next board meeting, we can narrow that. We could openly talk about each one of them, and then, you know.
That sounds like a great way forward.
I mean, it's going to take a couple meetings, but we'll get to where we need to get.
Yep. And it's perfect evidence that I can show our director of finance, too, that, look, we're working on it. It's been out there for, what is it, 11 years now? I think we can wait 2 months.
Well,
ours now.
I like your microgrant idea because it seems like the type of thing would be really hard to get funded otherwise. Whereas vets, the county's already demonstrated a willingness to do a spend on vets, and I think they could be asked to do additional spends on vets, and we don't have to spend. This is a rare pot of traffic safety board money that could be used to do something a little bit bolder, a little bit more tactical.
You just need the idea to be well packaged, right?
Well, I mean, I can put it. I'll put something together and make it very simple and email it, and then we can talk about it.
So I encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Does that cover new business? Moving on to other business. No other business heard. The next board meeting is scheduled for.
I should say June something.
Yeah, I'm
June
7th.
I think June 7th.
2nd?
No, it's Monday.
June 2nd.
June. Thank you for that correction.
Any last alibis?
I'll move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
You were in YBC now?
7:30.
Very smart time.